Blog Talk Radio.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin.
What's the champ wearing? Looks like an examination gown. And from the back...
Ooh, that's not pretty.
Champ, what's with the get-up?
I've got to take care of my family, so I'm getting those important medical screens.
The fight is over! Champ, you look pretty healthy out there tonight.
But I'm still getting those tests. For a list of tests you need, go to AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, I'm on Instagram. Lots of pictures. I'm doing some giveaways. So if you tag me, you might win a prize. So follow me on Instagram. It's Saturdays with Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for just supporting the show. We're close to 800,000 downloads. Could not have done that without you. Just wanted to say thank you for that, and I hope you have enjoyed the shows and learned a lot. I know I've learned a lot. I've just been blessed with having so many great guests. This morning, I have another great guest talking about divorce and African Americans. Ooh, did you get, like, scared, or why am I trying to break down the Black family? No, we're not trying to break anybody down, but we're trying to actually help people, and he's actually trying to help people stay together before they contemplate divorce. But if they can't, then his book has a lot of wonderful resources and tips and tricks and even forms to help you get through the process of divorce. His name is Lester Barclay, and he's a managing partner at the Barclay Law Group in Chicago, Illinois. Good morning, Lester.
Good morning, Ms. Keith.
Thank you
Pleasure
again
to be
for
here with you today.
Oh, well, I'm happy to have you on the show. As I mentioned, your book was very easy to understand and a lot of good resources. I like that it wasn't a lot of legalese terms. I mean, you had them in there, but you broke things down with, like, tips, lists, and that was wonderful. So you did a wonderful job with the book.
Thank you.
The name of the book is The African-American Guide to Divorce and Drama, Breaking Up Without Breaking Down. The interesting thing, when I opened the book, I was like, okay, he's going to tell us what forms. You know, I kind of thought what you were going to do. You have the whole, almost one-third of the book talking about staying married.
Yes, I've been married for 29 years myself. I'm a strong proponent of the institution of marriage, and I want to basically impress upon people that you don't have to go down this road of divorce, but if in the event you feel you must, there are alternative ways to do it that would basically stem the drama that often accompanies divorce.
Yeah, you have the one section here, and it says 14 important questions for people contemplating divorce. And I think that's really useful because a lot of people do get divorced too soon. But I have experienced people getting divorced because they didn't talk before they even got married. And they didn't talk about important issues like children, like sexual issues, like money issues, like career, like where are you going to be? Okay, today we're here, but where are you going to be 10 years from now? Have you found that issue, like before they even get married, things people forgot to talk about?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, people fall in love and they fall out of reality. And you see the end result, which is dissolution of a marital relationship because people didn't have a foundation to build a successful marital relationship.
Another thing that I liked is that you brought up the children. People are so absorbed in their anger and disappointment that sometimes they kind of forget. And I mean, not literally, but just, you know, what happens like mentally with people. They are like focused on the relationship and not thinking about other things that are going to be affected. And I'm glad you had a section about the children and what how that impacts them and what tips and things that parents can do to kind of make it smoother for them. That was really great.
Well, you often see that parents are so engulfed in their own anger, their disappointment, their resentment for the other spouse, that they forget about their children. From time to time, I'm called upon to represent the interests of children when their parents are going through divorce, so I'm representing them. And I'll ask a parent, well, how's Denise doing? And, mm-hmm. you know, they say, oh, she's fine. She's coping. She's going through this fairly well. And then when mm-hmm. I bring Denise in and I speak with her one-on-one, I find that her heart is broken. Her world has been turned upside down. She's angry. She's resentful. She is basically going through a full range of emotions that most children of divorce go through, where they feel guilty. They feel maybe it was something that I could have done to keep mommy mm-hmm. and daddy together. And so it's absolutely devastating for children. And the selfishness of parents sometimes not to consider how their children actually feel about this. Sometimes you basically have to scratch your head and wonder, what are the parents thinking?
Yes. Well, I mean, like you said, they're not thinking. That's the issue. They're not really thinking about, you know, what the children, because you're so consumed. Like we talked in the beginning, you know, you get married, you're in la la land, and you're not even thinking like, oh, we're going to get divorced. You don't talk about important things. And not that children aren't important, but it's like you're just consumed in this, you know, Cinderella story, if you will, type of thing. But let's go back to this African-American guy. It's not just a book about divorce, but you're specifically focusing on African-Americans. And talk to the audience about what's the difference between African-Americans getting married and divorced as opposed to other individuals. What's unique, and why did you focus specifically on that ethnicity?
Well, let me tell you, Joy, I wanted to write a book to fill the information gap available to African-Americans about divorce and its aftermath. As in other mm-hmm. aspects of our lives, black folks often face special challenges when it comes to divorce that are culturally based, and I wanted to write a book that spoke to those specific issues. Now, when we look at the African-American experience and we see the prominence of the black matriarchy, that is, African-American women tend to be better educated, earn more by large wage earners in terms of mm-hmm. earning capacity. And you see that they have been the head of the African-American family, unlike in many other cultural groups. So that matriarchy means that we have strong black women, and the negotiating power sort of shifts when you're ending a relationship. She may have a better job. She may not need mm. the resources that you bring to the table. She can make it on her own. And so that's one issue, the African-American female black matriarchy that we have. Then you look at things like the influence of the church. The church used to validate marriages, but our churches now have support groups for singles, for married, divorce, you know, and so there's accountability. For instance, I could show up at church a Sunday, and if someone doesn't see my wife in two or three Sundays, then they may ask, well, how's she doing? And so mm-hmm. there's a sense of accountability from the African-American church and how it views marriage as an institution and the support that it lends to marriages. Then you look at the reluctance in our community of individuals to seek therapy, particularly African-American men. Pity a man mm-hmm. whose wife cries out and says, honey, I want to try and work this out, and he doesn't get the message until it's too late. And so black men tend to strap up, and we're macho, and we won't seek therapy. We won't seek that intervention to save the marriage before it's too late. And then we wake up, and then we decide, oh, my God, I'm letting this good woman get away from me. She's the mother of my children. I'm not going to be waking up in the house with the children every day. This isn't what I want. Mm. She's been crying out, baby, maybe we should go and talk to somebody about some of the issues that we're facing, and he's reluctant to do that. Then you have to look at the high instances of domestic violence in our community. Unfortunately, violence of any kind in our community is something that should not be tolerated. But we see a lot of domestic violence in our community. As well, we see numbers of high school dropouts, non-college-bound students, and we see the high rate of male and female these days incarceration, which definitely impacts our families.
Let's talk about, what are the top three reasons you see people coming to your office to get divorced?
People are generally angry. We see a lot of people who are angry because of things that happen during the marriage. We see people who basically feel betrayed. We see people, you know, because of a love ending, infidelity, out of control, anger. Those are the kinds of things that we see every day when people decide they want to end a marital relationship.
Now, what documents would they need when they come to your office? Because that's one of the great things about your book. In the back, you have a lot of sample documents. And also, again, I mentioned a lot of easy, like, tip list, you know, point by point, like the top 10 things or the 5 things and this and that. So talk to the audience who may not have the book yet. What are, let's say, the top 3 documents they need when they come to your office? What are you looking for from them?
You're looking for financial information, because divorce is about the division of assets and the allocation of liabilities. So let's say you have accounts at Sears or Macy's or any other, you know, consumer account. You've got a mortgage. You've got a car note. You want to basically make sure that you have all of the financial information available, your income, you know, tax returns. You want to basically be able to produce your W-2s, and you want to be able to produce a payroll stub. Those kinds of things that would help a lawyer basically process the financial status of the family and determine what the value of the marital estate is. As well, you want to bring in all the bills that exist so that someone could basically look at that as the court. You ask the court to allocate the debt and responsibility. Who's going to be responsible for that car that we bought 2 years ago that both of our names on? I don't trust him to pay the note since my name is on there. So you basically want to wrap up all of the loose ends as you end the marital relationship. So all that financial information that you've got in that corner of the house, you want to basically put it in a shopping bag and take it to the lawyer.
Now, the interesting thing, you have a whole list about how to look for a lawyer. I mean, I would hope that everybody would come to you, of course, but you're in Chicago and people are all over the country. But that's a great thing, too, about, you know, how to vet your lawyer. Because a lot of times people, again, you're in a distraught state. You know, you're angry, you're sad, you're, you know, all these different emotions. You may not be thinking clearly. I mean, do lawyers take advantage of that and maybe overcharge people? Because that becomes an issue, like, how much is it going to cost me? You always hear people say, oh, man, it costs too much to get divorced. I'm just going to stay.
A divorce, if it's a custody battle, one could spend a minimum of $20,000 in a custody battle. One could spend up to, you know, $100,000, $150,000 in a nasty custody battle. By the time you hire experts and to come in and psychological custody evaluators to look at the family and make recommendations to the court, by the time you look at the lawyers preparing for trial, you know, one of two things generally happens in cases. Either parties settle or a court makes a decision. And so you basically, if you're going to settle the case, it would be advantageous to settle it early on rather than to drag it out and to exhaust your 401k, your deferred compensation program, your pension, your savings, go through all of that, borrow money from relatives. You know, just sit down and work it out. Joy, what I see is that people often promote their emotional issues over their legal issues. And I tell people all the time, deal with your emotional issues before you commence your legal issues. Other than that, you'll be wasting time and wasting your money.
Yeah, and that brings me to the issue of the children, because you talk about people treating children as property, and that's the problem. They're human beings. They have lives. They hope to be you hope for them to be successful, but if the foundation of their younger years is you know, all this conflict between the two parents and not focusing on the child, then their future can be, you know, messed up, unfortunately, and they'll be scarred. So I'm glad that you have that whole section and you talk about the arc. Could you elaborate for the audience about your analogy you give for the children's arc?
Well, children need to be protected, and just like we talk about the biblical passage of character of Moses, when Pharaoh was going to annihilate all of the young boys, his mother prepared an ark and floated him down the Nile, but she had a desire to save her son's life. And we should have the same degree of expediency to protect and insulate our children from divorce. It's our divorce. It's not our children's divorce. One issue here is that African-American men, oftentimes, and this, I'm not saying all African-American men, but in many instances, when they divorce their spouse, they often divorce their children. And so they will walk away, and they will say, well, you know, they'll see me when they're 18 if they want to be bothered or if I want to be bothered with them. So just because you're ending the relationship with their mother does not mean that you should end the relationship with them.
Right. No, I agree. One of the things you talk about is separation. Now, that gets sticky. You know, like, unfortunately, people cheat. That's one of the issues. They break up. And sometimes they actually do leave the spouse, but they're not divorced. They're separated. And they're with another party, male or female. That, you know, and they think that the person thinks, oh, okay, now the third party thinks, oh, now we're going to start a life together. Well, I had a friend who was with somebody for several years. They weren't divorced. They were with them several years. And then the person ended up going back to the wife. Let's talk about this issue of separation. Some people have, there's a legal separation. What defines a legal separation? Does somebody have to file paperwork, or is it just, I walked out the house today and I'm separated?
Well, we've coined a phrase that is called a ghetto divorce. Now, that's not to imply that it's derogatory. It's basically to say that there was a pattern in the South during the Great Migration where, you know, many men came north looking for opportunities, and then they were going to send for their families. And what happened was they found other women. And so they did not hold to their promise to bring their family to the north. And so they simply moved on with their lives, left their wives, their children in the South. And so 20 years later, when he was retiring from the post office or any other job, and they asked him, well, you know, you've got this pension that you've accumulated. We noticed that you were married when you started this job. And so do you have a death certificate? Do you have a divorce decree? And he looks and he says, oh, my God, I never got a divorce. And so that wife is entitled to 50% of his pension. And so now he's calling 20 years later for the first time. And he's saying, well, baby, can we talk? So we've coined that phrase, coined that as a ghetto divorce. And we tell people, clean up your act. Because when you should pass away, there's only one person entitled to your estate, and that is your wife. It's not your girlfriend of 20 years who you bought a house with.
It's
your wife. And so just because people separate, that does not magically mean that they've ended the relationship. Tighten up your legal issues, then move on.
Well, I think this is an important thing. Actually, in the beginning, I talked about how people don't talk about things before they even get married. And that before you get married, there are legal things you need to discuss, like, you know, life insurance and who's going to get the kids and where you're going to be buried and what's going to happen to your belongings and who's going to get your belongings. You know, those. So there's a lot of legal things. But, see, Lester, we don't talk about these things to our children. You know, nobody sat down with me and said, you know, well, if you do get in a relationship and you decide to get married, you know, this is what you should think about and blah, blah, blah. Nobody ever had that conversation with me. You know what I mean? So I think that your book could be useful for parents even to talk with the kids, not to make it scary or boring, but just kind of put it in their ear. And then when they come to that crossroad, you know, when they're like, you know, 20 or something, like 23 or whatever, and then, oh, you know, I'm thinking I'm in love and this and that. Remember the talk we had? You know, just remember to think about those things, because nobody has these conversations. So that's why we don't know about it. You know what I mean?
Yes, and we talk about estate planning, we talk about insurance, we talk about life insurance and making sure that you're protected, that you leave something for your children. We talk about remarriage after you've mm-hmm. lost a spouse or you're divorced.
Oh, yes. You
you're
talk
older.
About, you have a good story about that. Really quick, we only have a couple minutes, but one of the stories is about hair. And I was like, what is he talking about hair in a divorce book? And you're talking about the new girlfriend doing the child's hair and then the ex getting upset. And that goes back to, you know, dealing with emotional issues and boundaries and so on and so forth and really keeping communication open. But that was a good story you had in there about new people dealing with the exes. So that's important as well.
That's right. That's right. Hair is important in our community. And judges ask me all the time, well, Attorney Barkley, what's the big deal about the girlfriend doing the hair?
The hair.
Don't touch that hair.
Black women in hair, but we've been to the salon for 3-4 hours on a Saturday, you know, wasting our life away for hair that when it gets humid, then all of a sudden it falls. So, you know, go figure.
That's right.
But what are our priorities? Or even women don't exercise because of their hair, or black people don't go swimming because of their hair.
Some of these
things can, you know, hold us back. So it's not about the hair, people. It's about, you know, what's inside and communicating with each other. And Lester Barclay's book, The African American Guide to Divorce and Drama, is an excellent book. I'll be giving away some copies of this book. So if you want to get a copy, you should follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter or become a fan on Facebook. Or even you can tag me in a photo and use like a hashtag divorce or marriage in the photo and you could possibly win a copy. Lester, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Joy, for having me.
I want to mention your website is divorceanddrama.com. There you can go check out more information about Lester and the book, and also ordering a copy of the book there on the website. Again, divorceanddrama.com. Also, you can read about his law group, the Barclay Law Group, and contact him and learn about where he's going to be next. So thank you so much again for coming on the show, Lester.
Thank you so much, Ms. Keys. Have a good day.
All right. You have a good day. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with attorney Lester L. Barclay talking about the African-American Guide to Divorce and Drama, Breaking Up Without Breaking Down, an excellent read, easy to understand. I don't want you to get a divorce, but if you're thinking about it, maybe pick up a copy of his book, or you could win a copy of his book. Follow me at Joy Keys. Become a fan on Facebook or tag me in a photo on Instagram. It's Saturdays with Joy Keys. Next at 11:30, I'll be speaking with Haitian author Edwidge Dandika about her new book, Claire of the Sea Light. So tune in for that. That's at 11:30. The call-in number is 646-929-0368. I hope you can join us. Have a wonderful Saturday.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. What's the champ wearing? Looks like an examination gown. And from the back...
ooh, that's not pretty.
Champ, what's with the get-up?
I've got to take care of my family, so I'm getting those important medical screens.
The fight is over! Champ, you look pretty healthy out there tonight.
But I'm still getting those tests. For a list of tests you need, go to ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.